Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Las Musas special Valentine's Day podcast. My name is Isme Williams. I'm the author of This Dream Is Being Held. Today, I am joined by my good friend and fellow founder of the Latinx Kidlit Book Festival, Mayra Cuevas, young adult author of Salty, Bittersweet, and many other fine books soon to come, as well as the illustrious Anika Agamuy Denise, a Pulitzer Prize honor-winning children's book author of A Girl Named Rosita and The Love Letter. Thank you all for joining us today. So today we have a special treat. Valentine's Day is around the corner, so we are going to talk about writing about love and books that have love in them, and not just romantic love either. Love of family, love of friends, even love of self, self-care. So for the writers out there, we'll give you some ideas and thoughts about writing about love and what that takes. But first, let's just introduce ourselves. Mayra, would you like to start us off?
Yes, thank you so much, Isme. I'm so excited to be here with you and Anika. This is awesome. And talk about love and books. I mean, what better than those two things? So hi, everyone. I'm Mayra Cuevas. And I love writing Kitlet. My debut, Salty Bittersweet, was named one of BuzzFeed's 30 YA books by Latinx authors we can't wait to read in 2020. And Hola named it 10 books that will take you on a journey while you are at home. My next young adult novel comes out in the spring of 2022 and is co-written with my dear friend, Marie Marquardt. Talk about friendship love. And it's titled, Does My Body Offend You? It's about girl power, feminism, and the meaning of allyship. My debut picture book comes out in 2023. And it's my day job. I'm also a CNN producer, and I live in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yay. Welcome, Mayra. I'm so glad to be here with you. And I do want to plug the other big thing that Mayra has to be proud about, which is that this whole Latinx Kidlit Book Festival, which had its inaugural event in December of 2020. Any listeners can still view the festival panels on our YouTube or even listen to them on a podcast. All of these options can be found on our website, latinxkidlitbookfestival.com. All right, Anika, would you introduce yourself and some of your books to our listeners?
Yes, thank you so much, Isme. Thank you, Mayra. I just wanted to say that I was a participant at the Latinx Book Festival and that it was amazing. And you should definitely go back if you haven't heard everything. You should go back and listen and you will love it. So, okay. Hola, everyone. I'm Anika Aldamoy Denise. I write picture books, both fiction and nonfiction. I am the author of the picture book biography, Planting Stories, The Life of Librarian and Storyteller, Pura Belpre. That's illustrated by Paula Escobar. And that won a Belpre author honor and an NCTE Orbis Pictus honor. I just recently published a picture book biography about the amazing trailblazing Rita Moreno called A Girl Named Rosita. And that's illustrated by Leo Espinosa. That's about Rita's story as, you know, a young girl migrating from Puerto Rico and her pioneering career in Hollywood. So I really love highlighting powerhouse Latinas in my books. And I have another biography coming in 2022, but it hasn't been announced yet. So I can't even say who it's about, but I promise that it is about another powerhouse Latina.
Ooh, can't wait.
Woohoo! And I also have a fiction picture book coming in 2023. It's a bilingual counting book inspired by my cat, titled Gato Guapo. And that one, I'm so excited, will be illustrated by a fellow musa, Zara Gonzalez Huang.
Yay, Zara!
Yay, Zara!
So great. So thank you, Mayra and Anika. Oops, and I guess I should just tell listeners a little bit about myself. So I mentioned I am the young adult author of a contemporary own voices book. Water May was actually my debut, which came out in 2017. This Train Is Being Held came out in 2020, right before the lockdown. It is a Junior Library Guild selection, and they're both published by Amulet Books. And I should say that in addition to being a writer, I am also a pediatric cardiologist. It's my day job. I see patients in the Bronx. I am the daughter of a Cuban immigrant, partially raised by my abuelitos. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram. I have just by my name, at Isme Williams, and my website is ismewilliams.com. Very, very simple. If you can figure out how to spell my name, that is. All right, so let's start out with some questions, and we're going to have some great recommendations, as I mentioned earlier, of books to read. So I hope you have something to take notes on, because your TBR list is going to get very long. So why don't we start with a discussion about why write about love? Like, what is it about love that makes people want to read about it? Myra,
love is everything, guys. Love is everything. Like, love is the fabric of life. You know, love is just makes life meaningful. It connects us to everyone, pretty much. I mean, it's this, I believe it's the most powerful force in the entire universe. It's love. We want it, we want to give it, you know, we want to share it. Like, the more we share it, the bigger it becomes. It's just the most beautiful, just absolute thing. And it's a absolute, just universal experience.
And what do you fun think, to read about. It's fun to read about. I wanted to, yeah. I wanted to sing after you said, I wanted to, love is all you need, you know, exactly. but it's true too. I agree with everything that you said, and love in all its forms is, it makes for a good page turning reading, and certainly in picture books, you know, it's about a little different kind of love, but kids, they're so expressive with their love, those little kids. And they'll tell you how they feel, and their feelings are on their sleeve. And I love picture books that explore that. So yeah, write about love, because I agree. It just, it is in everything, and very joyful. And also, you know, it can be exciting and have all sorts of tension. And yeah. it makes for great writing and reading.
And I love what you mentioned there about, you know, the type of love in picture books, because one of the things that I love about writing Kitlet is that you can explore love in these different stages of your life, right? Like, when you're writing picture books, you can talk about love, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit more detail, but, you know, it can be love of anything. It could be love of a little blankie. It could be love of your parents. It could be love of a friend, you know, and then in middle grade, things start to get a little bit more complicated, more dicey, right? You start kind of being a little bit kind of more possessive with your love, and deciding who you're going to give that love to and who you're going to receive it from. And then by the time you reach YA, forget it. All bets are off. It's just total insanity.
All's fair in love and war.
Exactly. Then things just become just very, very dramatic very quickly.
No, it's true. And I would add, to what you have both mentioned so eloquently about why we write about love, that, and I read this in a book many years ago, and I can't even remember the name of the book. And it was a character talking to another character. And the statement was that love is the one exceptional thing that happens to all ordinary people. You know, it's like, it's, you know, it really elevates you, right? It really elevates the human experience to more than just, you know, your own self, right?
That's beautiful.
I love that. I'm writing that down.
It's because it's so true, right? It's like this one very exceptional thing that hopefully everybody gets to experience in some form of another. So let's talk about the different forms of love. So obviously Valentine's Day usually makes people think of romantic love, but love can also be exhibited in stories like love of family. We talked about blankie love, you know, love of your favorite stuffed animal or of a pet. There's love of friends, like that driving love and loyalty of friendship we see very frequently in Kid Lit, and it's so powerful. There's love of nature, love of self and self-care.
And, you know, I think of all the different genres and categories of books, and for me, Kid Lit is explores so many different kinds of love in such a profound way that other books just don't. I mean, it's just layered, and, you know, you while little kids are developing and they're discovering the world at all different ages, right? From picture book to chapter books to middle grade to young adult, everything is being experienced for the first time. So everything's even more heightened, right? We have this sense of fantasy and magic and beauty. Things haven't quite been tainted yet, right? We're not as cynical as sarcastic. Right,
we're not jaded, yeah.
Right, we're not jaded. So it's just so wonderful to explore love through this lens of purity and beauty.
Yeah, and I think too, it's like, for whatever age, picture book, middle grade, YA, you know, you don't always have the framework or the words to express your love or understand it. And I think books give you that place to explore and then like look inward then and put yourself, how would you feel in this story or how does it relate to you? And that's, I think, a just really powerful thing when you're talking about the subject of love, you know, to give you the words, the framework through the characters that you're reading about.
I love that. So let's talk a little bit about some of the different kinds of stories where we see love. So we know there's romantic love, of course, love for family, friendship, love of nature, love of self or self-care. You know, in picture books, we have love of pets. And I want to start talking about specifically some books that touch on these topics. So I'm going to talk about Fat Chance, Charlie Vega by the amazing, super talented Cristal Maldonado. This book is out now. It literally just came out. I think it was like last week. So it's hot off the presses. And this it's about self-love, right? So Charlie Vega is smart, she's funny, artistic, ambitious, and she's fat. And she wants a good relationship with her body, but her mom and these external forces kind of make it hard for her. For example, at one point her mom leaves like a billion weight loss shakes on her dresser, hint, hint. Everyone thinks she should be thinner, lighter, slim face, straighter hair, be smaller, be whiter, be quieter, you know, all of these things that people around us in society kind of just puts on us, right? And there's one person who's always been on Charlie's corner. It's her best friend, Amelia, who is slim, popular, and athletic. So when Charlie starts a tentative relationship with a cute classmate, Brian, everything is perfect until she finds out that he asked Amelia out first. So I know, it's like, dun, dun, dun.
It's so relatable, so relatable. No matter what, like, whether you're talking about body image or anything, like, oh my gosh, can you put yourself right back there?
Yeah, we all have something, right? We all for some of us is weight, for, you know, it just for others, it's like, my inability to kind of like put together a sentence sometimes when you get nervous, you know, it could be acne. It could be anything. I mean, it could be at that age, it could be anything.
Yeah.
So it's definitely that universal experience.
Yeah. And then another book I wanted to mention that highlights sort of love of self and, you know, finding yourself and really learning to, you know, prioritize your own goals is Furia by Jamile Said Mendez, which just won the Pudabel Prey Award for Young Adult Literature and was also a Reese Witherspoon pick. It's a great book, and it does have classic romance in there too, because the love interest is this super hot, hunky guy, like a football guy. But the twist is that the main character wants to be a futbolera also, but she's not, you know, she's a girl, so she's not supposed to play football. And so she has a choice. She has to decide whether she's going to put herself and her goals ahead of the guy or not. And so it's a great girl power story that does have classic romance, but also talks about, you know, love of yourself. Yeah. And then another one that I wanted to mention is We Are Not From Here by Jenny Torres Sanchez, that also just won a Pudabel Prey honor. This one's a great example of love of friends, like the whole friendship love. It's an amazing, heart-wrenching story of immigration and, you know, what these young people go through to get into this country. And, you know, they do it together. And without each other, they would not make the journey.
And this We Are Not From Here, like, broke my heart. Like, talk about books that just literally just pull your heart out of your chest. This was one of those books that I think I told Jenny, I'm like, I could only read like a chapter at a time because I was in tears at the end of every chapter. It was just that it's such a complex story, and the love in it is just so powerful and just so heart-wrenching. And the experience, you know, it's basically one of those stories that shows what happens when we experience trauma together, and the way that we bond as a result of that, that it, we just create these indestructible just bonds because of the experiences that we've had and that we've shared. It's just, it's an amazing, amazing book. We're Not From Here.
I feel like in both of those books, although they're so different, there's like a strong sense of who these girls are, and that's not lost through their relationships. Especially in Furia, I felt like, you know, if that was me, would have lost myself in this relationship. And her sense of self is very strong. I think in both books that comes through in the characters. So
yeah,
I really liked that. You know, it's a refreshing kind of thing, because some of the more romances, you know, the character can flatten and not, you know, be as forward. And these characters really knew who they were. So.
Yes. Yeah. That's so true.
Totally weird transition here into picture books, probably. But I don't want to, you know, not, you know, picture books. Let's talk about picture books. After all that.
Yay. Yeah. No.
But here I am repping picture books in the conversation. But it's, you know, there's that too. We talked about how like different kinds of love, it's there in picture books in a totally different way, but it's really there. And, you know, for me, because I write picture books, I have to be, you know, aware that my readers, they don't want the mushy gushy stuff. Like that's like, ew, kissing, you know, but what I try to do as a writer and what I look for in books that I read about love and friendship is like, I think about what's important to kids in their loving relationships, be it with a parent, their dog, siblings, themselves, you know, what friendships mean to them, and what kindness means to them. And I like stories that, you know, all different kinds of kids feel celebrated and seen and accepted. And to me, those are like, those are the Valentine stories. Those are the love stories for little ones. So I'm going to just mention, my book first. Is that weird?
Yay.
And I have a book called The Love Letter, and that's illustrated by Lucy Ruth Cummins. And, you know, when I was thinking about this book, it kind of brought me back to my childhood and the stories that I read, you know, like the frog and toads and the ones with the little critters in them, and how they behaved in these woodland settings. And those, you know, were always magical to me. I think also because there just weren't books with kids that looked like me. So I kind of defaulted to animals, to be honest with you, because, which is really interesting. But I did kind of fall in love with this idea of writing a story like that, that was a little bit nostalgic. And this is about these three friends that find, there's a hedgehog, a bunny, and a squirrel, and they find a mysterious love letter. And each one thinks it's for them. And it's like a really poetic letter with kind words. And, you know, each friend thinks the letter was written for them. And as a result, they're like kinder in their little lives and kinder to each other. So the book is about a mix-up, but it's really about the power of words and how they matter, and how a kind word or a gesture can become like bigger and really, I know this is gonna sound like, okay, overstating it, but can change the world. So aww. That was, yeah.
I do wanna say that The Love Letter is an Amazon editor's pick, and it's an Indie Next List pick. Yay!
Woohoo! Thank you. Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah. So it's just like, that's, you know, at Valentine's Day, it's a good time to read those truly like heartwarming tales that make you go, oh, and you close the book at story time and the kids all go,
oh, there's so love in the world.
Yeah. They need that, especially now.
Especially now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So let's talk about Your Mama by our very own Nonieta Ramos.
This book, I got a sneak peek. You guys probably have all seen it. I just recently read through the whole thing. And it is like, it's one of those books. And I was telling Nonieta this, that like, when you read it, you think, how has this book not existed before? You know, like it, there's such a place for it. And it's so unique and beautiful, but it's basically a sweet twist on the age old Yo Mama joke. Except it's like her love letter to mamas, right? Just celebrating the fierce moms everywhere. And it's lyrical. The illustrations by Jacqueline Alcantara are just gorgeous. So it's really perfect. It comes out in April. We're giving a little early plug, but it would be perfect for Mother's Day, but also come around to next Valentine's Day. This is just a gorgeous read. It's like some of the lines are, your mama's so sweet, she could be a bakery. She dresses so fine, she could have a clothing line. And even when you mess up, she's so forgiving, she lets you keep on living. I mean, that's just perfect.
So great.
Oh my God,
so
I love this. I love this. I love those books that kind of like an ode to these amazing women in our life, right? That like the women that are like the pillars of our lives, like our abuelas, our mommies, our tías, you know, that just basically hold us up and prop us up when we need it the most. Like my debut picture books, it's not coming out until 2023, but
can you tell us about it anyway?
I can tell you a little bit about it, because I mean the announcement hasn't even gone out yet, even though it's sold like in September. Like it's like typical like publishing industry 101. It takes forever to get a contract, and it even takes forever double to get paid. So don't quit your day job. So it's about, I can't really talk about the title or anything like that, but I can tell you a little bit about it. So it's an ode to abuelas, you know, and the magic of abuelitas. Like everything they just do is embedded with just so much love that it feels magical, that we experience it at such a deep level that it transforms who we are and the kind of people that we're going to become as adults. So yeah, it's an ode to my abuelitas in Puerto Rico, and you know, everything they taught me, how to love the land, how to enjoy everything outside, how to the love for cooking and food.
The cooking, yeah. Yes. I was lucky. I got to read an early version, and it is the type of story when you read it, you just feel warm inside, right? It just warms you up, but you have like a visceral reaction to it. It's so great.
Yeah, and it's culturally very specific. And for you, right, for the writers out there, and this is so important, is I know Isma and I have talked about this a lot. You know, we're positioned in a very unique place, and that we can write stories that are culturally specific and emotionally universal. You know, all of that, our internal emotional landscape can be weaved into the story while maintaining our own cultural specificity, right? And this is something that I've been really thriving to do the more, as you know, the more I write, and as Anika, like the more you write, the more you kind of start finding your groove and finding your voice and digging deeper into your own cultural experiences, right?
Yeah, and I think too that editors are beginning to understand that too. I love what you said about that cultural specificity, but then having this, you know, universal quality that people connect to. It felt like before the editors were saying no to those stories because they were too culturally specific, and now hopefully there are more and more, well, hopefully we'll get more and more Latinx editors, and they're recognizing that there is that universal quality even in these culturally specific stories that only adds a layer of texture and richness that kids want to read about. So yay, I can't wait to read your book.
Oh, thank you.
And that's actually a great segue to the next book that I picture book that I want to recommend, which is A New Kind of Wild, written and illustrated by Zara Gonzalez Wang. Yes. Yay. I loved this book so much. You know, from the minute it came out, I remember seeing the cover and it catching my eye. It's about, you know, love of where you're from and learning to love a new place. It also has a very sweet friendship story in the book. A little boy, Ren, lives on the edge of El Yunque rainforest in Puerto Rico with his grandmother, and he loves it there. And then when he moves to New York City, he can't find that wildness that he loves about his home. It's all concrete and noisy, and Ren can't fall asleep to the sounds of the crickets and the coqui like he's used to. But a little girl who's from New York City and who's grown up there shows him that the city has its own kind of wild beauty, which I thought that was just it's a beautifully told story, and the illustrations are gorgeous. So a wonderful choice for a Valentine's Day read.
So let's talk about love in middle grade. And again, this is where things start getting a little bit more complicated, right? When we start questioning exactly who should be the recipient of our love. And instead of everyone, you know, it starts becoming like, like maybe I like this boy or this girl more. Maybe I don't want to be as close to my parents as I used to be, or my siblings, or, you know, we start kind of like questioning these things and then creating problems for ourselves as a result, right? So what are some of your favorite middle grade love stories?
Yeah, so I'll jump in here. You know, because I also want to point out that middle grade is this wonderful area. You know, it's that tween stage and that early teen stage, early adolescence, where kids, you know, physically start developing at very different rates. And the same is true, like, socio-emotionally. So you'll have some fifth graders that are reading young adult already because they have advanced, and some fifth graders are having crushes and they're writing notes to their crushes. I certainly was doing that in fifth and sixth grade. I was all about the romance. And then you have others that even in seventh and eighth grade, they're still at the ew kissing stage, you know? So, you know, middle grade is this very interesting area where we do see these different aspects of love, but romantic love especially is something that is nice to sort of flavor the story with, but maybe not do, you know, too heavy-handed. Like, so for instance, for me, like, I remember reading A Wrinkle in Time when I was little. And for me, that book became all about like the romance between like the character. There was no romance in that. There was like one line, right, where like he like held her hand or he did something for her. And I was like, oh my God, it's a romance. And I like loved it because of that, even though like really it wasn't really about the romance. If anything, like that's like the love of the father and she's going to save the father, right? But so anyway, I wanted to bring that up a little bit because I find that that's very interesting. So one of the books that I wanted to mention is The Other Half of Happy by Rebecca Balcarcel, who is another Las Musa author. It was a Pura Belle Prey honor book. And that book does deal with sort of first love. The main character is 12 years old, I believe. And she has a crush and she's starting a new school and she has a crush on this boy who's really, you know, he's cute and he's really friendly and they just hit it off. And I don't want to ruin too much. But it's, you know, it's very tastefully done. And then it sort of turns out that maybe he has a crush on somebody else. And so she has to sort of navigate that situation all at the same time that she's dealing with issues that involve love of her family. And the character is biracial and sort of loving both parts of her family, both the white part of her family and the part of her family that's from Guatemala, and maybe addressing a possible trip to Guatemala to visit her abuelita for the first time that she's not very enthusiastic about because she doesn't speak Spanish. And so she's kind of nervous about that. But, you know, I remember I read it with my fifth grader. And, you know, I really enjoyed that little romance part of it too. So it had many different elements of love in it.
I loved that book too. Just give my little shout out. I thought it was, I remember thinking, I didn't think about it at the time, but I totally agree with you that the love part of it is not heavy handed. And it seems just right. I mean, she really knew her audience and understood how to bring that forward in the book. So that book, I loved it for all the reasons, but.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because when in writing middle grade, you know, you have, like Ismay was saying, like that part about the romantic love that has to be a little bit more not heavy handed, just more subtle, more sweet. But then also in our families, we're starting to see our parents come out for the first time, right? We're starting to see them as mm-hmm. as people, not just our parents. Right. And starting to, you know, to realize the complexities of that they have their own lives, that they make their own mistakes, and starting to become more aware of that. And that the love for those relationships has its own level of complications. And the same thing with our friends. You know, we're kind of like in that middle stage of when we were really, really young. It was super easy to make friends. We'll just grab whoever's around. We're friends, right?
Playdate. Yes. Playdate with anybody, right?
With anyone, right? And then in high school, it's like it becomes even harder to make friends because everybody just, it's in little cliques and groups and it's more selective. But in middle grade, there's still a little bit of that flexibility, right? We're still transitioning between groups of friends. Our relationships between friends even become, because of the changes that we're all experiencing, becomes a little bit more complicated. So it's just such a great, middle grade books are just such a great way to express all that and to shine a light into all the complexities of being that age. One middle grade book that I read recently that I absolutely fell in love with, could not put it down, read it in like 24 hours, was Lupe Won't Dance by Las Musas Donna Barba Higuera. It recently won 2021 Pura Belpre honor. It's an amazing, amazing book. It's funny, it's full of heart. I mean, Lupe is just like one of the best heroines like I've ever read. She just did such an amazing job with her. And it has a little bit of that, you know, the family dynamics, the cultural specificity, like we talked about, that very complex emotional landscape. You really, really do get into Lupe's internal, like what she's feeling and what she's going through. You really just, you are there with her. And it also has a little bit of social activism, which I think for today's generation is a generation that it's more self-aware in terms of social justice and their role in the world and just being a little bit more outspoken when they see injustice. From there, we can talk a little bit about YA and romantic love stories, coming of age stories. So what are your favorite tropes and like coming of age romantic stuff? And don't say Bridgerton.
Yeah, no. It's funny. I did not become a writer until recently, you know, but I would read young adult and I loved reading young adult romances. Like that was just, it's such a high, right? To just ride that ride of first love. Again, we mentioned this, Myra, you mentioned this earlier. You know, it's because it's the first time all the senses are heightened, but also we're talking about young adults. So everything is more dramatic, right? Everything is much more emotional because at that age, everybody, you know, all the hormones are raging. Everybody's more dramatic anyway. So it's just, it's a great, I love that genre. Really, I feel like, oh my gosh, we're like running out of time. We have so many titles we want to share with you. So I'm going to quickly name a few titles. There's the Cuban Girl's Guide to Tea and Tomorrow by Laura Taylor Namy, which was a Reese Witherspoon pick.
I love book, Laura and I love her book. I just think it's lovely and wonderful. And it's like a little warm blanket that you sit with and by the fire and have a little tea and it transports you to England. So it's just a perfect book for the pandemic because, you know, since we can't, we're so limited as to where we can travel, it just kind of takes you away.
Yeah, such an important, valuable mission that our books provide, right? Like this whole escape aspect, especially right now.
Yes.
And then we have an upcoming 2021 release, a debut, Like and Zaya Kemp's book, Somewhere Between Bitter and Sweet. I'm very excited for it. It's already pre-ordered it. It also deals with first love. And then let's move on a little bit to rom-coms, because Myra, I want to plug your story.
Yes.
Salty Bittersweet, which I was so honored. I got to read a very early version of it. And it, you know, it combines, it's not just a rom, it's a foodie rom-com, but it also is, it's a first love story. So the character is this young girl, Issa. It's funny, we both have characters named Issa in the books that came out like within 3 weeks of each other. Issa. But so Issa's life is sort of turned upside down by the death of her beloved abuelita. Also, her parents are divorced and her father has remarried, and the stepmother is pregnant, about to have her baby. And so Issa is now living with her father in France, and she really throws herself into her goal, which is to win an apprenticeship in a Michelin star restaurant. And so it's perfect for people, for readers who love food or who love those like baking shows, because you get sucked right into that kitchen with Issa and you're rooting for her. But again, I mentioned the whole like Wrinkle in Time, I Found the Romance in It. Myra's romance is not so subtle, but like for me, definitely, it was like the, oh, who's going to be eliminated? Who's going to like get the points to be eliminated from the kitchen? But also I was like, when is Diego coming back? When's Diego coming back? So she's got this super awesome love interest who drives a motorcycle and has an adorable dog, Beluga. So cute.
Such a good name.
And they have these great flirty scenes, which I just love. And so I think, you know, we were talking about before, like, what is it about rom-coms that people really love? It's like that sassy banter, like the flirty fighting. It's like such a great way to see the characters growing closer, and like they're angry with each other, but they kind of love each other, and you're like, come on, like, get it on, like, what's gonna happen next? I loved it, and it's, you know, magical dinners in Barcelona, and
because why not, right? Book. Go to Barcelona, no, just have dinner.
So great.
Yeah.
And talk about escape. Like you're in France for most of the book, like in these gorgeous spots. You do go to Barcelona as well. So I highly recommend that book. That's a really great Valentine's read.
Also, too, the food aspect, I just want to say that's such a natural too, like can we just talk about food just for
yes,
a second and
thank
how
you.
That worked mm-hmm. so well in Valentine's Day read, and how it worked so well in your book. Like it brings together all the things that you want, that sassy banner, the rom-com aspect, and then food. I can't think of a better Valentine's Day read than Salty Bittersweet, to be honest.
Well, you know, it's funny because whenever I think, you know, going back to like writing from our own points of view and our culture and our Latinx roots, I cannot think about writing a Latinx story without food in it. Like, I mean, food is just such an important part of it. And then when we're talking about different kinds of love, I think how passionate I am about food and how like
love
I
is food.
Yes, yes. You know, that's like one of my mantras. It's like, you know, love is food. Like you, like for me as a stepmom and as a wife and as a sister and as a daughter, like granddaughter, like I show so much of my love to my family and my friends through the food that I make for them. You know, whether I'm baking something or I'm cooking something, you know, for a party, or whether it's somebody's birthday and I ask them, okay, like, what do you want? Like, what is your special birthday menu and how can I do that for you, right? And, you know, it was so fun to put that part of myself into the book, and also to pull from my own teen years when my parents were going through just a horrible divorce and my grandparents had recently passed away, and what all those emotions were like, and the just that tumultuous time and what that did for me internally. And it was just such a great experience to be able to put all that into something that hopefully will inspire young women in their own lives.
So well done.
Thank you. So another rom-com that we have coming out soon is Like a Love Song by Gabriela Martins. And this is also Y Romance. So Natalie, it's our heroine is Natalie. She is a Latina teen pop star and takes a dive after a messy public breakup until she sets up with a swoon-worthy fake boyfriend. You know where that's going. You know where the fake boyfriend, yeah. Come on. Like, so
she that's was hoping, Bridgerton, by the way, just saying.
Right? That is totally Bridgerton. We're going to have to talk to Gabriela about this. She's going to have to remarket this as Bridgerton. So she's fighting her way back to the top. And, you know, this romance ensues with this really hot other British indie film star. So I can't wait to read this book. Gabriela's book sounds absolutely amazing. Just the kind of book I love. A perfect book for the pandemic. Fun, light, you know, kind of takes you places. And by the end of it, you just feel so much happier and better about the world and just the state of things. And for the time that you're reading the book, you can just completely ignore everything that is going on around you.
Perfect. Love it.
Yes. So I think it's perfect. So, you know, a little bit, just a quick little tip for you writers of rom-com out there. There's a book, a craft book that I love. It's called Writing the Romantic Comedy from Cute Meat to Joyous Defeat. And it's written by Billy Murnett. And it's actually written for screenplays, but I found it very useful when outlining rom-coms and just helping inspire you and find, like, what is the classic structure, right, of a romantic comedy? Meet, lose, get. So you have this amazing, unforgivable meet cute by these two characters that are just super quirky and they're very unique. And then they kind of, you know, you get to the point where things happen and then they lose each other. And then at the end, they come back together again and they get each other, right? So the meet, lose, get. And it just helps you kind of figure out different types of rom-com structure, different themes, the characters that appear in a rom-com. So it's great if you're looking for inspiration to write that book. This is a great, great craft book. That can kind of, you know, help you get some ideas.
Okay, I'm gonna segue now. I'm gonna talk a little bit about tension in young adult romance. So I had the opportunity to see Cassandra Clare at an SCBWA conference back in 2012 when I had first decided, like, oh, I want to be a writer. And she gave this great lecture about romance. I had no idea who she was, by the way. After I saw her speak, then I got some of her books and then I promptly read all of her books. But she had this great lecture and she talked about tension, about how important tension is for, you know, I'm talking about classic romance now, like the like romantic love, and how the higher the stakes, the higher the tension, that's where the readers will go. And, you know, Cassandra kept saying, like, don't be afraid. Some people, they make a mistake because they don't go all the way. Like, you have to make it so horrible, so bad. And then she talked about different types of love that include tension. So I'm gonna just list off a couple now. So we have, like, forbidden love, right? Like, that's a classic trope, forbidden love. And it can be, the love between the two lovers can be forbidden for many different reasons. So one is it's forbidden by family, right? So that's Romeo and Juliet, right? And one of the important points to remember is that if your story is about forbidden love, where it's the families that are keeping them apart because they're going to disappoint their families, family has to be front and center, right? So the main character has to really care what the family thinks, because if they don't care, then, you know, what does it matter that the family wants to keep them apart? So, and another one, love can also be forbidden by society. So this is like the classic rich versus poor, popular versus unpopular. I'll plug a couple of our Las Musas books here. So Alex Villasante's The Grief Keeper is a great novel. it's an immigrant story that's so fresh and unique. But one element of it is that the main character, Marisol, finds herself falling for the girl whose grief she's supposed to accept. And so the girl, Marisol, is an undocumented immigrant. She's seeking asylum and she's given the opportunity to remain in this country with her sister if she agrees to participate in this clinical, sort of research trial. And so she ends up falling for the girl who's like the rich, privileged girl who has all this grief. But The Griefkeeper also is a great example of love for family, by the way. So even though it's a young adult, it's not all about romantic love. In fact, I would argue also that one of the driving love forces of that book is the love that Marisol has for her younger sister, Gabby, because she's doing all of this really to protect her sister. There are other taboos that we see in forbidden love. Dangerous love, right? So you can have love where the object of your attraction is dangerous for you. Twilight would be a great example of that. Zoraida Cordova's Bruja Born series has some elements of that, like the danger of their love. Another great way to amp the tension is to make the love itself, like the relationship, very dangerous. We see that in Taylor K. Mejia's We Set the Dark on Fire, where the lovers would be killed like immediately if they were discovered, because this was not acceptable in their society. I'll also mention Samantha Mabry's All the Wind in the World, which was long listed for the National Book Award. Great example of these tension creating qualities, lots of different aspects. Sarah Jack and James Holt, they're in this like sort of dystopian world where they're barely surviving. They have to work as ranch hands and they have to keep their love secret, because if people know how much they love each other, it's a vulnerability. Right, they will be weakened by it, so they have to keep their love secret. And then Jack and she tell, it's like, how much can I tell, because I don't want to spoil it. Okay, there ends up being a love triangle in there also, but it's so good. It's like dread, danger, romance, redemption. The guy has to protect the girl. They have to keep their love anything secret, where they're like sneaking around, they have to keep their love a secret. I'm totally in like that. I think that is very highly tension inducing. And then I was going to talk about, I'm like, oh wait, my book, This Train Is Being Held. It has a little bit of, you know, I was searching for that tension, right? So I have these two characters. So it is like, people have said, oh, it's like West Side Story. And I was like, it is like West Side Story, even though that was not my intention when I wrote the book, except both characters are Latinx and they're both very different. So you have a blonde Upper East Side private school girl who's half Cuban, who wants to be a professional ballerina, except her mother would never allow her to do that because that's unacceptable for a modern day woman to pursue such a career. She should be a doctor or scientist or something like that. And then you have Alex, who is a Dominican American from Washington Heights, who's a baseball prodigy, and his papi really wants him to go pro, but Alex maybe wants to be a poet. Not that he could ever share this with papi. But so these two highly driven teens who are from very different parts of the city, lead very different types of lives, end up meeting on the subway. And over the course of different happenstance meetings, they do fall for each other. But, you know, there's also this element of like family pushing them apart and like secrets pushing them apart, because bad things happen. I have to like make bad things happen to Issa, and she doesn't tell him about these bad things because she wants to protect, you know, their little bubble of happiness. And so because of the bad things happening, Alex is like, how come I never met your parents? Right. And then he's like, well, maybe she doesn't want me to meet her parents because I'm not white. You know, so it's like all of this like tortured, like, oh, like put them together and then pull them apart, put them together, then pull them apart. Something else really bad happens. So,
I love your book. So yeah, I have read This Train Is Being Held. I love it so much because it is also like an ode to New York City. It's got these scenes through like interspersed in different parts of the city, like in the subway. And of course it's all pre-COVID. Like in this, they're leaving each other little notes in the subway. I just thought that was like the cutest thing ever. Like, I love that. And it's a great companion to Romeo and Juliet.
Yes, thank you. I always forget to mention that. Yes, the love poems. I mean, that was a fun part too. I got to write Alex writes love, like he writes poems and she's his muse. And so he leaves her little poems in different places and she has to find them. And so that was fun to do.
And I love that they meet on the subway.
It's super cute.
Yeah. And you know, it's so funny because I have like a book club, like with some other mom friends. So they were so generous. They're like, let's read Ismay's book. So they read my, and then one of my friends was like, you know, that's exactly what happened to my friend. That's how she met her husband on the subway. And she told the story. I was like a post 9/11 thing. It was this woman from Australia who's like, I'm done with New York. I'm moving back to Australia. She shipped all of her stuff back. And then a huge cold front came in and she didn't have a coat. So she's on the subway and she's freezing. And this gentleman walks up to her. He's like, where's your coat? Here, take mine. And then turns out she never gets on the plane. She marries him. She lives in New York now for the rest of her life, has many kids. Like,
oh my God, why are you writing this story, Ismay?
I was just going to say.
Now I didn't know about it until afterwards.
Now you told everybody on this podcast. So you better get to it.
I don't even know who the person is. We've got to find the person.
Forget it. This should be our next book. Oh my God. This is like awesome. You had me. I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Are they going to get together? Like,
that's gold.
It is total gold. Okay, so before we wrap up, what kind of love story? Last question. What kind of story are you hoping to write or see that it's not really out there yet? Annika.
Okay, I'm going to answer in picture books because that's what I'm talking about today. I would like a picture book where, you know, kids may not be falling in romantic love, but they're like, there's a little more non-binary representation in it. Like I want to see a boy give another boy a big pink sparkly Valentine's Day card with lots of glitter because he feels to another boy because he feels so moved to express himself that way. You know, I just think it'd be good to kind of break out and expand what we consider, you know, stereotypical gender roles and relationships for the Valentine's Day picture book category. So either I'm going to write it or someone needs to go write it.
Aw, I love that. So I want more rom-coms. I mean, I love rom-coms and I want more diverse rom-coms. I want more Latinx rom-coms, you know, basically more diverse everything. And, you know, recently I wrote, I've been working on a Christmas picture book that is very, very cultural specific to, you know, Christmas in Puerto Rico on the island. And as I was doing research, I realized how little like seasonal books there are for Latinx writers and readers. There's really not that many. So, I mean, I would love to see more seasonal, like, you know, Christmas, Navidad, you know, Dia de Reyes, like Valentine's Day, Halloween type, incorporating more of this, you know, these type of traditions into our own stories and have them be very specific, but with like love front and center.
Yeah, I say that about the Hallmark Channel. I'm like, where are all the Hallmark yes. holiday movies with any Latinx people?
I know. Right? So we got to write the stories.
Yeah, you write the stories so they can be adapted.
Yes. Perfect. Ismay, what are you waiting for? Or what would you
Well,
like
it's funny because we were joking before. I was like, oh, I want the Latinx version of Bridgerton because thank you, Mara. Mara's like, you got to watch this show. I was like, what's this show? And so now my husband and I are watching the show, not for kids, by the way. But it sounds like I might have already gotten my book once I read Gabriela's book, like a love song. That sounds like it might be a similar, similar vein where it's like we're gonna pretend that we're together because it suits both of our needs, but of course then they fall for each other. So that's a very lovely trope.
I'll read that.
So thank you everybody for joining us. This has been such a great, like almost like an hour here, like talking about love and about books. And I mean, what could be better? I feel like I'm just going to listen to ourselves.
I know, it just flew by.
This is so great. I want to point out, if you'd like to learn more about Las Musas or our books, please visit us at our website, lasmusasbooks.com. You can also find us on social media at Las Musas Books. Be sure to check out our bookshop page where each purchase of one of our books goes towards supporting independent bookstores. So that's a great thing to do, especially now in the pandemic. We all know how small businesses have been suffering. If you enjoyed this episode, please like it, review it, subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. Tell your friends. And you can send us ideas for other subjects or topics that you want us to talk about. You can also sign up for the Las Musas newsletter, receive podcast updates, as well as other Musa news like release dates, teasers, spotlights, and more delivered straight to your inbox. And I also want to thank Myra and Anika for joining me.
Thank you, everyone. I
loved it.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.